Gang, this is not a new episode of the podcast. You probably already figured that out from the photo and from the title, but it's a conversation from 2014 with two members of Montreal ska legends, the Planet Smashers. And if you've been a longtime listener to the show, you know that there's about 50 episodes from the 2013-14 era that, due to my incompetence, didn't get transferred over to the current feed for the podcast. So I kind of call them the lost episodes, even though they're not really lost. If you want to dig enough online, you can find them, but they haven't been part of the formal feed for Witch Police Radio and therefore available on all the podcast platforms until now. So I'm putting out this one today. I think it was our first attempt as a podcast to record an interview with someone who was out of town. Until this point, it had been pretty much entirely interviews with guests visiting us in person at former co-host John's basement, and that was sort of the spot we did every podcast. And they would come down there, sometimes they'd play live music, we'd interview them, da-da-da-da-da. And anyway, this was an attempt at talking to someone from out of town. The Planet Smashers had a new record, and I reached out to them kind of randomly on Twitter to see if they would be interested, and sure enough they were, which was great. I've loved this band for a long time, dating back to the, I guess it's got to be the mid-90s now that I've been listening to them, and it was really cool that they wanted to talk on the show, especially because at this point the show was super new. It was a really unknown podcast, and we barely knew what we were doing, but they were kind enough to come on the show and hang out. And so it's a really fun conversation, and I'm glad to make it reintroduced to some people or introduced for the first time to others. And just so you know, this is in the old format of the show. So instead of being just a straight-up interview, we had this whole theme word thing that revolved around song selections. And like I've done with all the other lost episodes in the past, I'm just fading out those songs. So you'll hear them talking about them, you'll hear the interview part, and then just when it gets to the song picks, you'll hear a couple seconds and they'll fade out. So it's not a glitch or anything. It's just because before the past 5-6 years, the show always played music that was by other people who weren't the guests. And because there's kind of a gray area regarding copyright and shit like that, it just made more sense that when these are reissued, to just kind of cut that part out. But it's a fun conversation. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back to regular interviews later this week. Thanks again. If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio!
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. This is episode number
73.
And I'm regular host Sam.
Regular host John here.
And what we've been doing a lot on the show has been lately talking to people, a lot of local guests, of course, but we've also been talking to a lot of bands and artists who aren't in Winnipeg, which is great. And this has given us an opportunity to talk to a lot of people whose music we really like, who, you know, we would never have otherwise been able to communicate with. So
yeah, even the idea of like catching a band if they're like on tour, while a touring band is moving from one city to the next, you know, within a day or so, you can't like just scoop someone up while they're in town. They don't want to hang out in my basement.
Hard to bring them to your basement to talk. So today, we're talking to a band that I've been a fan of for a really long time, like dating back at least 15 years here. And we have a couple members of the Planet Smashers on the show. And as people who listen to the show know, I was in a ska band back in the mid to late 90s, and we actually opened for you guys at least once. And I've always been interested in that kind of music, and the Planet Smashers were one of the bands that really was, I think, really inspired all of us to get into that in the first place. So, I mean, it's not only cool that you're on the show, but it's cool that 20 years on, you're still making music and you have a new record out. So, thanks for coming.
Yeah, welcome.
No worries. Yeah,
man.
It's Awesome.
Yes. Thanks for coming on here. So your new record, it just came out, right? Mixed Messages.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks ago. April 7th,
oh, really?
Okay. It's, 7th, I think.
Even newer than I thought. Awesome.
Yeah, so, it's 3 weeks old, I think.
So you did. Is it actually 20 years since the formation of the band?
Yeah.
That's
insane. 20 years.
That's incredible. Are you doing anything to acknowledge, recognize the anniversary, or is it just kind of hoping that no one picks up on it and keep playing?
Well, we did the tour. I mean, we ran around telling everyone we were 20, like, it was our birthday for a month.
Yeah. Well, we did the Western Canada tour, and, I mean, it kind of worked because the album came out, so... It was good timing. Yeah, pretty much. We called it our 20th anniversary tour, and we did 11 dates or something?
Yeah, 11 shows.
Yeah.
So far, and it's kind of continuing.
It's continuing. Yeah, we just did. We just had our homecoming in Montreal.
Awesome.
Great,
and it was a really good one.
Yeah, we're off to Chicago and Detroit in a little bit
with our pals Mustard Plug.
Cool. That's another band that I can't believe is still around too. Mustard Plug. it seems like
older than us.
Are they?
91. I was on their Twitter today. 91.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
that's insane. So yeah, I mean, the band I was in existed for 2 years in the 90s. You know, right at the tail end of the whole third wave ska boom. So I think that a lot of people maybe don't realize that you guys are still around, just because a lot of people associate ska wrongly with a certain period of time, especially third wave ska. And I'm sure there's people who were even in my band when we played ska at the time who have no idea that you guys are still making music. So how do you? I mean. How have things gone kind of since that erupted and then sort of has been somewhat less in the mainstream spotlight, but, it's still a thing.
I mean, prior to the eruption...
maybe not the best word.
No, ska was pretty healthy. It was in the underground from 77 or whatever, 79.
Yeah.
It was popular for 2 years, 79 and 80, 81, that it died. And from 81 until... 95, it was living in the underground, and then that's pretty much what happened after the media ska boom ended.
Yeah.
And a lot of bands, went on, became swing bands, and then if they didn't become swing bands, they became emo bands, and, it just kept on happening. But some stubbornly remain ska.
Yeah, for sure.
Some don't know. It's a one-trick pony show.
Yeah.
Like frozen dinner.
Yeah. But, that's a good point. A lot of kinds of music that become popular to a greater audience for a short period of time, they don't realize what was happening all along
yeah.
The people who were into it beforehand. So yeah, that's a good point that it just carries on with the people who are
right. The people who are into it still. I mean, I still listen to it now, right? But I mean, I think there's a lot of people who were into it when it was like a fad, I guess, and then but you guys have managed to persevere, which is great. I listened to some of your new stuff, and it's like astonishing that it sounds like the Planet Smashers I remember when I was a teenager sound like the Planet Smashers now. It's awesome. Like, you've kept, everything that I liked about the band then still exists in the current iteration of it, which is, it's cool that you've managed to stick with it and keep your sound. You have a pretty unique sound, so cool to keep it steady.
Yeah.
Is it still, I don't know the band nearly as well as Sam. Is it still most of the same original members, or?
No. I'm a scab. I'm a big scab.
That's a scab.
Okay.
The band has always been Dave. Like, not always. From the first record, it's just Dave and I left, but three of the guys from that first record left and became real people back in 96.
Real.
Real jobs and stuff. They did well. There's a lot of people that have been in that. Scott's been in the band for 13 years now.
Oh, well.
Nothing to sniff at, yeah.
Yeah.
And he still hates me? No. Pat's been in for three now, and
three.
Yeah. Al, our sax player, is four in a bit. I mean, when we stopped touring hardcore, we lost our horn players, in 2008. One guy moved to New York, and now he actually plays for Mephistopheles.
Oh, cool.
I'm thinking we should play a song by them later
on. For sure, yeah.
And another guy is just doing well in Calgary. He's got a couple kids. He came out to the show. He was close to tears seeing us play. I understand. I know what he's talking about. I mean, there was a lot of emotion, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears put into his time in the band. And we went through a lot together. So, no one, And a lot of people left their mark on this band, so it's good.
So what's the, I mean, now that you're 20 years in, is there, I mean, are you going to go for 20 more? Do you guys have a game plan for the future, or is it just keep going until you can't do it anymore?
More, Scott.
I think we're just sort of enjoying it as it comes, and, you know, if show offers come, we're happy, yeah. You know, and it's always exciting to play a show.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, I'm not 20 years in, but...
I honestly, it's the same thing. It's kind of like, the band's always just, we've never had a plan. It was always just kind of like, let's play some shows, dudes. Let's see, put out our own music, see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's tour. Let's get the van and lose money for a long time. we did that for a long time. And now it's really fun. I mean, we go out, a lot of people at the shows are old friends, people we've seen for many, many times over and over through the years, and we know them by first name, on a first name basis, and there's still new kids coming out. There's like multi-generational fans coming out these days. You know, there'll be like some guy whose dad's birthday, you know, he brings his dad out, or another guy who's bringing his kid to the Ottawa show. I don't know if I told you about that.
No.
But we've been around for so long. We have a sixth member in the band now. He's playing keyboards because we have a lot of songs that are, you know, it just sounds better with the extra keys, and we're not touring like we used to, so we can afford to bring him. He's 25, and he's so funny. He's like, yeah, man, back whenever he does interviews, he's like, well, you know, when I was five.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's in the elevator. So, I mean, like that, it's all part of it. It's like just the joy of being able to do it and recognizing that we're fortunate to have the chance to do this. And we enjoy it, and it's still fresh. Our shows are fresh. It doesn't look like we're beating a dead horse to the people that are coming to the shows, because we're not really trying to like make the Smashers bigger, you know. It's more like just, hey, this is cool, let's have some fun.
Yeah, nice.
Cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to suggest we should get into maybe a song here.
Yeah, let's get rolling. We'll talk to you some more about your band and about your new record in a bit, but let's start with a song. Did you want to...
Well, so for the premise of the show, which I don't know if we mentioned that first. Is that we use a random word generator that... It's kept in a secret location, has not been revealed yet.
Yeah.
And we generate a random theme word. Our randomly generated theme word is terror.
Which is pretty good.
For tonight's episode?
It is good.
So,
did you guys have any difficulty finding songs? It looks like you had a pretty long list of ideas.
There's so many.
There's a lot. I mean, we were kind of like...
I couldn't think of any at the time, but I was like, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch.
Yeah, there's a lot of like ska songs that are terror and like spooky sort of oriented. So, I mean, we had, I don't know, we sent you a list and you're like, this is way too long. So we trimmed it down a little bit for you.
Yeah, it looks like you have some pretty good picks. Do one of you want to start things off by selecting?
We mentioned that our own sax player, Lodestar, plays for Mephiscopheles now. So that'd be a good, you know, slide in with that one with Doomsday by Mephiscopheles. We're playing with them in Toronto end of the month.
Awesome. All right. Let's check out Mephiscopheles and we'll be right back.
Hey, what's this button for?
Doomsday!
All right, that was Doomsday by Mephiscopheles. And that satanic ska band is pretty good. pretty good choice
for God Bless Satan.
Is that the album?
I think so.
Wow. That's awesome. Very subtle.
They were like, back then it was kind of like East Coast was all kind of like dark ska, and the West Coast was all like Real Big Fish and Aquabats and Happy Happy Ska. So it was, you know, kind of cool.
Yeah, I remember when I first heard them, I was like, this is kind of terrifying that their name terrified me more than listening to the music.
It's one of those good ones, but I mean, usually, like when you have ska in the band name, it's just kind of like you want to shake your head and cry a little bit. But Mephiscopheles,
that's
is pretty
true.
Good.
I know. Scotomizers.
Yeah.
There was a band here in Montreal called Alaska.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Eskimo.
It seems like anyone that you could possibly think of has probably
someone's used it. Yeah, it's, yeah, for sure they have. Yeah, it's awful.
Well, how guilty? I mean, yeah, ska is pretty notorious for like the bad plays on words. How guilty are you guys in like your songs and stuff? Your song titles.
The only way we did the ska of Iran.
No, I.
But that was kind of our own joke on the whole thing. It's on our first record.
That's good.
I guess it's excusable on your first record, right? So, it's acceptable.
Pretty terrible.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
Wow. That's a very surprising.
Yeah, after all the amount of time you guys have been around, it's a pretty good track record. Only one ska joke. yeah, one of the things that I've always kind of felt about your band, and actually we had, this is an early episode, maybe early last year, we had Greg Crow from Hole in a Milka on the show. He's from Winnipeg, right? And Hole in a Milka was one of the bands that, probably the band that got me into playing ska in the first place and listening to it and all that. And so we had him on here, and he said, he kind of mentioned one of the things that that you guys did was kind of just bring, I guess, interest in ska kind of city to city when you had those early compilations and stuff like that. And I kind of feel like that's something that's really cool that, you know, because you guys started out putting out those albums and touring a lot and everything, that you kind of got the word out there and all these new bands started in all these different towns. I mean, you know, I was in one of them maybe around 98 or so, and, you know, we'd heard you guys, we'd heard Hole in a Milka, we'd heard JFK and the Conspirators, and it just kind of, and I know a ton of other bands that locally that did that too. So, I mean, when you guys first started out and you started heading, you know, city to city, was there anyone else doing it, or did you just kind of leave and then come back next time and someone was now a ska band?
I mean, in like 95, 96, 97, there weren't very many Canadian ska bands touring the country, so that's just kind of how it was. A lot was going on elsewhere, in the States. It was, people were crisscrossing all over the place, but for Canada, we were the only real touring band at the time. Kingpins picked it up a little later on, then a whole lot of Milka started getting around a bit more.
Yeah.
But not a lot of the other ones were doing much. And you know, I mean, prior to that, there were there was King Apparatus and Mama Frankenthaler, and those bands paved the way, I would say, for a band like us. But nobody else was really touring. Things changed, you know, through the years, and bands like Sub started going out, and then started seeing U.S. bands coming up, like Big D and the Kids Table. Even the Boston ones came across Canada once.
Yeah.
Only
once through the western part of the country. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We weren't too happy with Regina.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Regina, man.
I do awesome. Too. I mean, Boston.
Anyway,
sorry to interrupt. Speaking of which.
But those bands paved the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that the All-Canadian Kyle Service, they were cool at the time.
Yeah, they're great.
Five of them in the end, but the first three happened in 95, 96, 97, back when internet was just starting to, you know, pave the way to, as a new way to sort of reach out and communicate. But I remember putting those first two comps together. I was calling old university friends, you know, like I knew someone who was going to like UBC, and I'd be like, you know, hey man, check out if there's any ska tech bands in town. If they are, can you go to the show? And if you can go to the show, can you just like give them my phone number?
Yeah.
Did that ever work?
Yeah.
Who did that work for?
Pressure Cooker through that.
Right on.
A few other bands too. And then, you know, it was just a matter of talking around. Then, because we hadn't done our first tour, we didn't have a release by then. It was going to be a 7-inch.
Okay.
We found out that it was all these other bands, and slowly the word got around, and, you know, people send me cassettes.
Well, like All-Canadian Club, the first three, they happen so fast, but because Greg Milka Crow is on all three. One.
Yeah. I think JFK's on all three, too.
I think so, yeah.
Boom, sha-la-la-la-la.
Song rules. This is an amazing song, yeah. Yeah.
What a song.
Yeah, it was great. We still have yet to get JFK on here. We had his trombone player from the current version of the Conspirators on the show. Few months ago, but we'll get them on. We'll get them on. I'm wanting to.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of good bands through the time in Winnipeg. I mean, they're called the Barrymores.
Yeah.
Great band, the Afterbeat. Wonderful band. Just to name a few. And
Winnipeg Porn Orchestra,
the Winnipeg.
Yes, yeah. RWPO. Yeah, great band. Yeah. Great band. That's for good. Sure.
I don't think they were on. Were they on?
I don't think they missed the.
But they did that like split with JFK.
They That's did. It. Yeah, that was a great split. Yeah. Well, they had Bacteria Buffet Records, which was kind of the thing going on here.
Right. What happened to that, man?
About 4 years ago, maybe they just called it quits. Like they and they had a big show with all those bands. The Barrymores got back together for the first time since their drummer passed away. And like JFK played, and the Afterbeat played with a bunch of the original horn players and everything. It's a big show, RWPO, everybody, and they just kind of went out with a bang. Great label though.
Lots of tears, lots of beers.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Kind of seemed like the almost the equivalent, like the, you know, the Winnipeg equivalent to what Stomp was, you know, earlier. And it was really cool to have that going on in the city. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, but something I wanted to show you guys is I have this. I don't know if you can see this, but this 7-inch here. This is your old came out in 95 or something.
I think they originally made 250 of them.
Yeah, this is 10 numbered.
What number are you
really?
I've got number 81 here on the red vinyl. So yeah.
That's fine.
I thought I would. Like,
122 or something. Eventually they did another 250 of them, and those aren't numbered, but the first 250 are numbered. Figured it out.
Okay, okay.
I couldn't remember how it worked.
You can buy them online. Like, some people are selling them and like in like random countries across the globe. And I told my buddy in London, Ontario about it, and he went and bought one.
How much?
I think he paid like $20 for it. It was super cheap. It was crazy.
Deal.
Yeah. Anything to listen to Beans, man.
Yeah, it's a good song for sure. Yeah, yeah. So when did this come out chronologically? Is this between the first two albums or what?
Yeah, it was between the first two. Dave, our bass player, was still playing drums then. That's the original lineup for the Smashers. Checo was on bass and the original horn players. That was recorded in BC at the Smugglers studio. I don't know if you remember the Smugglers.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
In Records, all those guys, dude from the Evaporators helped us out. That's it,
name
man.
Dropping like crazy.
It was time for us. We were like starstruck.
That's
like
cool.
Going to the Smuggler studio and like meeting Grant Lawrence. And,
yeah.
And you know, like just like what's happening, you know? And they when the three guys left the band for my like the original three guys when they left the band. We were about to call it quits, but then the Smugglers were coming through town. And they asked us to open for them, and we're like, "We gotta do it, man! It's the Smugglers.
We gotta build the band,
build it up." So they brought us back.
Cool. Well, yeah, it's a good record. Like, it's. I mean, this. I didn't get this originally. I got it from a friend who had bought it. I guess at a show, and because this came out, I guess a year or two before I first heard you guys. So, I mean, I own it. And, oh, look, I have an original, but it wasn't mine first place. But you know,
pretend, man.
Yeah,
that's great. But that's
I mean,
great.
It is mine, and so. I bought it at a show.
We'll cut that part out.
We'll get some more on the old and the new Planet Smashers, but I'm gonna play a track now just to kind of get us moving on with the song thing. So when the word terror came up, the first thing I thought of and the only thing I really wanted to do was an artist named Terror Fabulous. Are you guys familiar with Terror Fabulous?
No, sounds amazing.
He's a early to mid 1990s dancehall artist, and I think he's extremely underrated. He had a couple of hits that were, you know, around 94-ish that were expected to be big crossover hits, you know, kind of crossing over to pop market, but it never really worked. And he ended up going crazy, and he hasn't recorded anything that anyone has heard for a really long time. He's mentally ill, and I've read some interesting interviews with him where he's trying to defend his craziness by saying, like, well, it's not like I'm eating garbage. Like, that's his definition of, I'm not that crazy. I'm not eating garbage. But, yeah, he's been in and out of jail, doing in and out of jail for, like, throwing rocks at people's windows and all kinds of weird stuff that, you know, petty crime and things like that. But he put out a couple albums and a lot of singles in the early 90s that are just great. And I brought this record here. It unfortunately, it turns out that I didn't... Oh, sorry, I'll put it closer if you guys can see it.
Yeah.
But it turns out that the song I was looking for wasn't actually on this record. I have it on a tape, on a compilation. You know, those old dancehall compilations used to come out all the time. So I'm going to play a song called You at a Ball. It's by Terror Fabulous. It's about murder, and fits the theme for a number of reasons. So we'll check it out, and we'll get back with Plan Smashers.
Cool, man.
Hey, you! Where your program wickedness? Open the ears and listen.
This is question from me to Fabulous. Listen. Have you ever seen a 45 before? Does a man ever get murdered front of your door? You hold a ball, say no murder me. Hey, you hold a ball like a little baby. If a jungle man hold you when time in red, and decide tonight him a go make your marrow spread. You hold a ball, say no murder me. Hey, you hold a ball, bloodshed no pretty. If a god man catch you at the wrong time, and decide him a go take.
That was Terra Fabulous. You would a ball. I don't know what you guys thought of it, but I love this guy. I think he's severely underrated. He kind of has the same vocal style as Buju Banton and came out around the same time. He's one of my favorites. I don't know. What did you guys think?
I like it.
Totally dug it.
Yeah. That's
iTunes there.
Awesome.
The bass had a really weird like.
Yeah, I really liked the kind of reverse effect on the bass at the beginning. That was cool. Yeah. It's funny because. This is kind of the stuff that I got. Like, I mean, I still listen to ska for sure, but ska almost acted as a springboard for me. I was really into it, like, you know, when in the mid to late 90s, and then all of a sudden it kind of, like, jumped me right into reggae, where I've never really kind of been able to get out of. Like, I'm just, this kind of stuff is, like, this is exactly my, like, my zone of comfort listening to music, is this kind of dance hall and stuff. And, definitely being in a ska band at the time and listening to bands like you guys kind of propelled me in the direction of Jamaican music, and now I'm stuck and will never ever be able to escape. And I listen to shit.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, you weren't even there at the time. Yeah, but no, so this is one of the guys that I listen to a lot, and I wish he had more.
So he's still alive. He's just
crazy.
Definitely not making music.
Yeah, yeah. Like point. I mean, I read an interview with him, and the interviewer like suggested.
He doesn't eat garbage, man.
Yeah, he doesn't eat garbage. Yeah, exactly. He's not that crazy. Well, he took offense to being called crazy because he said like.
I'm not crazy all the time, or it's not like all the time.
No, yeah, he did say that. He's like, yeah, no. Sometimes I'm away. That's what he said. He said people shouldn't say I'm crazy. They should say sometimes he's away. So whatever that means. But the interviewer that in the interview I read kind of suggested that maybe he was bipolar, and he didn't understand what the term meant. So they had this big discussion about whether he was bipolar or not. But basically the thing is he's not making music anymore because he's got mental problems and he's in and out of jail for weird crimes. So.
Well, that's a shame, man. It's a shame he's ill because it's really good, man. I like it.
Yeah, his music's
ill. His music's ill.
It's really good, man. It's good.
It's good. Ill means good. Don't worry.
It can, I guess. Yeah. Ill means good. Awesome. So I don't have anything else to say about Terra Fabulous. I just I've been waiting for a chance to play him. You know, there's a lot of people like that. Like we're 73 episodes in now, and there's a lot of people. There's three hosts. Two of us are here now, but all three of us kind of have wanted to play certain bands at various times, and it's just never worked out. But when Terra comes up, obviously a guy like this is going to be like the number one choice. So
I'm curious if there are any. We've had a couple over the phone guests who are like very deep into a genre. You guys are very ska-based. We've had, like, a doom metal band whose stuff is very doom metal-y. but they played some very unexpected songs. I'm wondering if there's anything that, like, would surprise a listener to the Planet Smashers that you guys are into.
I know that, like, yeah, we kind of went the traditional route of, like, being a ska band, playing ska music.
Well, and that's cool, but, is there something that people wouldn't expect that influences you guys or that you guys listen to when you're not doing the ska thing?
I know that, like, on the label, on Union label, Matt was thrown around. He was. I mean, because of the terror idea, the terror theme, he was going to throw in all this.
I mean, we got Creepshow. We have the Brains. I was thinking Off With Their Heads song and stuff like that. But we ended up focusing on the ska.
And that's my fault, probably.
But it's cool, because I didn't realize there was that many, so I kind of embraced it. I was like, yeah, and I actually like a lot of these bands that we're looking at. And a lot of them are from, like, 95, 96.
Yeah.
Which was an exciting time for ska. And it's pretty cool. But with that said, you know, yeah, I mean, our influences are pretty diverse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I listen to pretty much everything myself, but... when it comes to Smasher stuff, like when we're writing the new record, we were kind of like going into it like, you know, this is the Smashers record. I know the whole back catalog. So it's like, I need to write it. The stuff I write has to be very
That's a smash. Smash-a-ree.
Smash-a-rific, yeah.
It's true, though. I mean, I write a lot of songs that aren't smasher songs, you know? And you just got to, like, it's the time and place. But that's part of what the smashers are. We try to take these songs that really aren't ska and pack them into a ska.
Stuff them.
Formula. Just, like, stuff it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it works, sometimes no, not so good. But yeah, so that's part of the smasher songwriting process.
But I mean, I listen, like, as far as music that we listen to, that your original question, I listen to a lot of like you know, drum and bass and stuff like that, like just weird stuff, like, I don't know, pirate radio in London, a lot of stuff I listen to. What do you listen to, Matt, that people will be surprised?
Still a huge, no, they won't be surprised. I'm still a huge punk rock fan. That's all there is.
Get off the punk rock,
I still
man.
I love the punk rock, man. I love it. I do like some of the sad tipster music. You know, there's a time and place for it.
Yeah.
And you know, I appreciate a lot of the, what do you want to call it, post-hardcore. But I mean, like, that's just getting a little too, everything's a little too sinister for me. So, you know, once the cool factor gets into rating whether music is good or bad, I kind of like step back and just like, yeah, okay, I can step back for a bit and let you guys sort it out.
That's a great, that's a really good advice.
It just, I mean, like, what the, come on, man, you know? So that happened to ska music as well. And it happened,
yeah,
to all those movements.
Yeah.
And those,
yeah,
are generally the end of the movement. When that starts happening, it's kind of like the end's coming.
Yeah, so, not a good indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing that with a lot of the hipster bands right now. We're starting to see that a lot, and the post-hardcore bands. So, you know.
All right. So you guys sent a pretty, like, cool list.
I just want to say something else. You mentioned the punk rock thing, and one thing I kind of find interesting about the Smashers is that, you know, despite being, you know, a big band at the time that the whole ska punk thing was going on, the third wave thing, you guys never really delved too much into the punk side of things. I mean, you were playing third wave ska for sure, but it was never, you know, there were a lot of bands that were just, okay, we'll do the ska verse and get it out of the way so we can do the punk part. But I mean, you guys, you know, even your faster stuff, even your heavier stuff was always pretty much just like, you know, straight up ska. Like, was that a conscious thing, or is that just...
Yeah, absolutely. Totally was. I just felt like it didn't make sense. Like, you know, we were... Ska band music for me was, you know, the ska guitar wasn't so much part of melody, or it was just part of this, basically a rhythmic instrument, you know, part of a percussion instrument. For me, that's what it is. And it was part of the backbeat and the dance, and our, you know, our sound guy understood it, and he would, you know, scooched in like almost like it's a tambourine.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how I felt about it. And I felt like when you started crunching on the guitar and doing riffs, it's kind of, you know, you but lost the groove.
I feel like you kind of start to do that, though. You have like a distortion pedal that you do jam on it,
yeah,
now and then.
I jam on it
for harder songs, like a song that we play is Blind. That's, yeah, you know, that's an awfully, I guess it's harder when we play it live. And I do see you kind of rock out a little harder.
I guess
the influences kind of are bleeding into the live show.
They do bleed in. I mean, like, I find that there's a time and place for it. Certainly, you got to step on the gas a little bit, you know, and just like, get people a little more crazy. So, yeah, you know, it makes sense from here and there. But just to have, like, the ska verse and the punk chorus.
Yeah.
Go back to ska verse.
Yeah.
It works for some bands, but for me, it doesn't work.
Right.
So.
What were you going to say when I interrupted rudely?
Well, I was going to say, like, you guys had a pretty good list of songs that you sent over to Sam, so I was wondering if you wanted to throw to another one of those.
Did we make fun of the Boston's at some point?
Yeah, I think so.
We said they wanted...
No, they didn't like Regina.
Like, once.
Yeah.
Those jerks.
Jerks. They're really nice people.
Oh, I thought you were going to, like, let's get one more jab in on the Boston's. Oh,
they're really nice people, and they had, back in the day when we used to do a lot of shows with them, well, the most was when we did Warped Tour. They paid for this guy to be launched out of a cannon at 3 or 4:20 every single day. Didn't matter who was playing, and he would shoot over the main stage, and it was pretty awesome.
Wow.
So, the Boston's, man. Let's do from their very first release, Devil's Night Out.
I have the tape. I didn't bring it. I have the tape. A red cassette. I should have brought it, but we'll
I have the vinyl.
Nice. Awesome. Still a really good album. Holds up. Let's check it out.
like the franchise there.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Was the Boston guy, the dancer? He was just Mr. Boston?
It was Peter, maybe.
Peter Boston.
Yeah.
Was he always like, so yeah, I only know the Bostons from, you know, when they're kind of
from like 97.
Quite popular, yeah, and stuff. Yeah. So that like harder start to it was like a Boston's I'm not even familiar with already.
Yeah, well, the first Boston's record I ever got was Scott Core, The Devil and More, which is that EP where they did a bunch of hardcore covers. And yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
Yeah.
Three Simones and like a lot of the DC hardcore they covered. And it's kind of, for me, that was pretty cool because it's what I grew up listening to. And my brother, I had an older brother, and he used to beat me up if I didn't listen to cool music. And that's what I had to listen to.
Yeah, it was really good. Those guys are still around too. How long have they must be, or are they still around, or are they done?
I think they're around when the money's there.
Right. Because they got to be
everybody.
I think they still do their annual Christmas sort of run.
Yeah, yeah.
They do a small club. I think it's the Middle East. They do like five nights, and they just have local. I think it's called the Local Throwdown.
Hometown Throwdown, I think. Hometown Throwdown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they still do that, but otherwise, I think they just do a few festivals here and there. They, you know, they're older than us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's...
They're like 89?
Yeah, they go back, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And they were one of those bands that were doing the... they were doing a little differently. They brought in the whole... tartan plaid look.
Yeah.
The ska. They're all a bunch of Irish fucks and
those jerks.
And they brought in what was in their version of ska, and they made it their own thing. And that's pretty amazing. They're one of those bands that had a distinct flavor, and you know, there's not very many of them did that.
And they were one of the ones that broke huge too. Like they were so massive.
Yeah.
That one single that just like, yeah, it was, that kind of was the peak of
I don't know where, but you would hear it everywhere.
You still hear it everywhere,
right?
I the impression that I get, I still hear it everywhere.
Yeah,
what's it called? The rock and wood.
The impression that I get.
Oh no, in
the impression that I get. Yeah,
the thing was huge.
Yeah,
like movies and stuff.
It was everywhere. Wasn't it in Clueless?
They were in Clueless. They played in. They were in the band in Clueless. Yeah, they did like Somebody I Suppose or something. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know why I know that.
You're busted.
Yeah. Pretty good pick-up. I watch Clueless all the time.
I've seen Clueless like four times.
Not in the interview. We don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's a home time thing. Yeah. No.
The Toasters were in Pretty in Pink.
Were they? No.
Yeah, there's like a ska band playing at one point.
Like,
it's either Pretty in Pink or it's one of those John Hughes movies.
Really?
I can't remember, but yeah, way, way, way back.
Well, they've been around longer than you guys, right? I mean, those guys.
16
been around
Candles. I can't remember. Oh yeah, they were 84.
They're older than shit. Yeah, yeah, those guys are ancient.
They did Moon Sky and everything.
Yeah.
That's a good point though. Like when there was like more of a mainstream ska movement, there must have been quite a few movies with some of these bands in them.
Oh, it seemed like every movie trailer had ska in it.
Definitely, like, trailer material, yeah.
Isn't it Saint Ferris?
Saint Ferris,
yeah. They were in one of those movies, yeah.
Oh, wait, don't forget about it. Take On Me by...
Real Big Fish, yeah.
Baseball,
that's right. Yeah.
That's the best. I love the psychos, dude.
Yeah.
He's like squirts milk at the guy. Out of his...
That was a bizarre movie. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, those guys though, like Real Big Fish, they kind of like, I've tried re-listening to the album. Like, I liked them at the time, you know, in the whatever year, 97, 98, whatever year it was. And I've tried re-listening to the stuff that I had like recently. And I can't do it. Like, there's something about that goofiness, like where it's like, hey guys, check it out, we got suits. You know, like I got a spinny thing on my head. Like, it just doesn't. I don't know. It seems like it's made for a certain, very specific age group, and I don't know. It doesn't. I'm too old. Like, my kids are.
That's okay, man.
Yeah,
that's, you know, not everything's for you, bro.
I know. I want to force it into being for me, though. Like,
I listened to Real Big Fish like that. Like, that was like a band that I like, and I still love them a lot. But like, why do they rock so hard? I think that would be a great album that I could. I think it was 98.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I could still listen to that if I hadn't listened to it so much in the past.
Yeah.
But the first one, what was the...
Turn the radio off, yeah.
Just cannot. I don't think I can listen to that.
It has its moment.
You're right.
Sonically, I can't listen to it, but at a live show,
at a live show. I'm gonna drink a beer and like, you know, bust out some moves.
I caught them in New York City. It was a really good show. It was them, Goldfinger.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And our good friends Big D and the Kids Table. That's why I was there. And I gotta admit, I had a great time. I really got hammered.
I think it's hard. Like those are bands that are really popular, like in like the late '90s, and they have albums that they release, and it's just like it's really it's for the time, you know. And it's hard to be timeless when you're just putting out albums when it's for the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of music that sounds right about.
Remember the trombone player was playing for Real Big Fish, and he sends us these photos, and every single show is like.
Huge
2,000 cap venues sold out every day. He's flying in jets and stuff, and
he's on the beach.
Wow. So it's like they still do extraordinarily well. Then you know that's good for them, right on.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing wrong then?
Billy Potter.
Really good beer pong.
What are you guys doing wrong then?
we should have, if we had just been in basketball.
Yeah.
Shit, we should have answered that call, man. That's all.
You know? I mean, where were we? Oh, man. We were touring Winnipeg.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, I think I've seen you guys live probably, like, at least 6 times, and I haven't seen you more recently than 99. So, I mean, you guys came through a lot.
Well, we tried to come out to Winnipeg on the last, like, tour that we booked, but the stuff just sort of fell through. And
we had, like, a Monday night or something.
Oh, yeah.
David Keegan over at the Pyramid... He wanted the show, but he's like, I can't do it on a Monday. Sorry, man. Yeah. No one's going to come out.
Yeah.
But
we'll find our way back there someday.
It's not that far. I mean, you guys aren't that far. We know where you live.
Yeah. So what do you guys do for touring these days? I mean, like you had mentioned a few times that it's not as you know, full on touring as it used to be. What kind of touring?
Yeah, like you just had an album and stuff. So, I mean, that must mean... hitting the road, right?
It's the busiest we've been doing in a long time. We went right across. We did Alberta and BC, and then we hit parts of Ontario. We're going to be doing some Quebec coming up. We're coming to the summer, so we're shifting into the festival circuit.
Yeah.
The festival circuit.
Yeah.
Totally,
which for us is limited. There's not very many festivals that will have.
Well, we're doing Montebello, so that's going to be great.
Montebello
with Real Big Fish and Goldfinger and Streetlight and, right? And they're
and I don't know, NOFX.
And NOFX.
I don't know, like a million.
Molly
Crew's going to be there. Primus.
Odd Man Up.
It's huge. The lineup for the Montebello Rock Fest is ridiculous.
Yeah, you guys should come out road trip. Hey!
Across the country for it. We're doing that. We're doing a bunch of other ones. So we're getting around Quebec and Ontario for the summer. We're venturing back to the States a little bit because it's just...
Testing the water. We test it.
We used to do really well.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, check if there's a... Yeah. Well, you've got to keep it alive. I mean, if you want people to be into it, you got to pay them a visit, right?
Absolutely. And the fact that we're going back to Detroit and Chicago at the end of the month is super cool. We're playing with our good friends, Mustard Plug.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. And I know there's a couple... Big D and the Kids Table wanted to get us back to Boston and the New York area.
Those guys are sweethearts.
And we used to kill it in Florida, and it gets cold in Montreal, so I got a plan.
we're gonna call the know-how and see what's going on.
We're coming back. that's sort of what I want to do. But if any touring we do, it has to be laced in fun. So
yeah,
that's it.
Good attitude. Yeah,
and I guess you're at the point now, 20 years in too, where I mean, you can. I imagine when you started out, you pretty much had to tour. To just get the name out and everything, but I mean, you have enough of a following now that when you put out a new record like the one you guys just released, people are going to want to hear it regardless, you know, whether you're coming through or not. So that's, I guess, that's the benefit of being around for so long.
Yeah, it's kind of.
But like for a band that has had a few line, you know, you mentioned quite a few lineup changes right at the beginning, even like how does it work with? I mean, especially now, how does it work with new members coming in? Do they kind of just learn the new stuff and then the hits, or what happens? Like, or is there like just learn as much of the catalog as possible? I mean, I guess that's a question for you because you're
yeah, it's a question for me. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I mean, I've been listening to Smashers like forever. So I mean, for me, this is a dream come true, and I love playing with Matt. And but yeah, you just learn. You learn the stuff you need to get by. And if we have songs that we're gonna throw in, then you learn those too. And then you kind of have to be ready to roll with it, right?
And more importantly, I can't remember the lyrics of the songs we play currently, let alone 80% of the catalog.
Or like the covers and stuff. So
I mean, you know, he's yelling lyrics at me and Dave's yelling lyrics at me. I'm like, oh yeah, right. Kids are yelling lyrics. Anyway,
it's a team. We're a team.
There's a lot of songs that we're just never going to play live.
Right.
I mean, some of them suck. Some of them
Hit us up on Twitter at Planet Smashers, whatever
it is.
I think it's Planet_Smashers.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
God damn it. I don't really remember.
Tell Pat what you want to
hear. Yeah, let me know what you want to hear.
We're going to conquer some new ones coming up. New old ones, that is.
Cool.
Yeah.
Coming up for this next bunch of shows. We're going to try to do Wish I Were American again.
Wish I Were American for the U.S.
Really nice song. And this Calagra one. We're going to bring back Mission Aborted from the first record.
That's an awesome song, yeah.
Well, that's fast.
That's a fast, exhausting one. Let's bring it back definitely now.
Good idea. Yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. So, well, do you guys want to play us, have another song you want to play for us?
Yeah, you want to do one more or two more?
Well, I think you have a couple more.
You guys
picks,
have a couple
more.
See, John has a pick too, but John's pick it sounds like it's going to be something really strange.
So strange and long, so I'll at least let you guys play one more before he gets into
that, and then everyone wants to turn off the radio. But yeah.
Well, we're going to play. We'll play Ghost Town by The Specials.
Awesome.
We're going to dedicate it to Patrizio, our keyboard player, because the keyboards on this are amazing.
Yeah, this is one of the best songs by anybody ever, like, for sure.
Also, the trombone solo at the end, don't cut it off, because it's amazing, and it's really influenced me.
Awesome. Cut it.
All right, let's check it out. Ghost Town, it's one of the best songs, really. Like, I've heard it like 7 million times, and it's amazing every time. Like, you really can't go wrong with it.
Yeah,
and it's pretty terrifying, I guess. Like, fits with the
spooky
terror.
Sounds, and then like, badass horn line.
All the wind sounds,
accompanied
with the creepy, like the police sirens, you know, and the keyboard is all minor. It's pretty terrifying.
And that weird little like children's choir almost sounding vocal bit there, like, it's really cool.
Yeah. They're all like in falsetto. Like, what are you guys trying to do there? What are you trying to do?
I have nothing else to say about the song other than the rules.
Texture. It's all about texture, boys, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. Recording business.
But for me, a little remorse.
Matt was just talking about it. Tell us, Matt.
Again, I had the older brother who was really into ska music, that scene, right? Like, when I was quite a bit younger, but I remember him being really sad because when that song was sort of getting played, the Specials were winding it down. They were doing their one big North American tour, and they were saying Two Tones dead. It's over. At the end of the tour, they were like, we're done. Fuck y'all. Oops.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's kind of like, it was sort of like, this is it, that's the end. This is the end of the two-tone era. It sort of splintered onwards for a bit, but, you know, Madness went signed to a major.
Yeah.
Selector fell apart. You know, that was pretty much it. Such bad manners was always kind of bad manners. Yeah. Can't tune their horns. I don't know if you know that music, but yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
there it is.
You know right away if you play music at all if a horn is out of tune.
You pick up that pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah, catchy tunes.
Yeah,
really,
for sure they do, yeah.
Catchy tunes.
Yeah.
It was out of tune.
It seems like some of those bands from that era are still around too, in like weird Frankenstein versions where there'll be like one or two guys and then like, you know, someone who was on the reunion album in 96 and then the guy who was on the second reunion album in 2003, and it's like this weird mishmash, and it's still cool. I mean, like, I definitely see the Specials in a heartbeat if they played Winnipeg, but I mean, it's not really the Specials the same as The special.
Yeah, specials. It's not the same. I mean, you're going out for the reminiscing, good old, happy feely thing.
That's like the Wailers are still playing.
I've seen them.
And I think a punk band that just put out an album on Union, the Boyds.
Yeah.
Or Boyds.
Boyds.
Not the, just Boyds.
Really good.
They're a punk rock band from Montreal. And they put out an album and they just played, they did a North American, well, a Canadian tour and they played with the Wailers. But the Wailers, I mean, there's only one original member and he was sick that night. So that's replaced. This is like a Wailers cover band.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what you're left with.
Even more ironically, it was in Banff, and all the kids were punching each other out during like One Love. There was like three things going on.
Jeez.
The guys from the Boyds are like, "This is rich."
Oh, this is rich.
This is rich. They also happen to be touring with Rue McKenzie, so that's never going to be good.
Yeah. So what's the story with Union and Stomp and all that stuff? Because you guys Stomp was the Planet Smasher's baby, right, in the beginning, and like that.
Yeah.
So and now then it became Union 2112 or something, and then now it's
yeah.
Union. What's it
for a bit, and now it's just kind of silly. Everything's on Stomp now. Okay. We're scrapping Union. We're just putting everything on Stomp. I mean, at the time when that was happening, it was relevant because as an independent record label. Part of presenting new artists, you had an advantage if your label was, for instance, ska, and you had a new band on it that no one had heard of. They would know, well, it's on Stomp. It's a ska band. It's a good ska.
Yeah.
And we did that for a while. That's why we started Union 2112. We had bands like Reset and Belvedere and eventually Flatliners and more on that label.
Yeah. Well, those are popular bands, man.
They are.
Yeah.
And St. Catharines. All these bands, and it's working. But then it just kind of got like, you know what? Like, I remember when St. Catharines were like, man, can't we just be on Stomp? And we're like, well, you're a punk band.
Yeah.
And then I realized that, you know, this doesn't make any sense. So we decided to scrap Stomp. I mean, not Stomp, Union recently. Yeah. Especially with the additions of bands like Creepshow and Brains and now Real McKenzie's and... Even, you know, there's even harder bands like Dig It Up, which is a hardcore band, which is on Stomp, and Boyds are on Stomp, a punk rock band. So it's a mix of everything, but it all kind of fits. It's all subgenre, kind of underground music, which is pretty much what Stomp's all about.
Right. Cool. It's cool that Stomp is still going on, because that, I mean, like what you're saying, that was kind of when I was a teenager, that was like, if I saw an album on Stomp, even if it was a band I hadn't heard, it was, you know, based on me liking you guys and liking a whole lot of Milka and JFK, things like that, like, I knew it was going to be good. And there was a lot of bands that I discovered just by being at the store and seeing, like, hey, this is on Stomp, I'm going to buy it. And there's a few
labels. That's the way I felt as a teenager.
That mentality, the reason why we kind of designed it like that is because, for me, that's what I did with Fat Rex. And,
for sure, yeah.
And Hellcat.
Hellcat, and, yeah.
Labels like that, you know, that came from. I didn't make it up.
Does that still happen though? Like, because I had that same, you know, I had that with a lot of these. I was into a lot more of punk and ska type stuff at the time.
Yeah.
Does this still happen with record label release, like mixtapes?
I don't think so as much.
I think so. I mean, like,
well, you Ninja look at Tunes, like, I mean, like
Ninja Tunes, like,
yeah,
Hulk,
yeah, okay.
Like
Vice. And, you know, they're all these labels kind of had this sort of thing. You know,
I'm sure Fat Rex still has that.
Still has that clout, you know.
You go into the store, you're like, I'm going to buy this, you know.
It's probably
like,
going to sound like...
it's Flaming Bomb Rockets. It's probably going to be friggin' awesome. I'm going to listen to it.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes.
But to a lesser effect, a lesser.
Yeah. People are like, well, I know one song. I don't really know.
It's you can preview a minute and a half of every single song on iTunes, so you don't really need to have that.
True.
What do you want to call it?
Actually, for our album when it came out, Canada couldn't preview it for a while, but Mexico could or something.
And I was like, asking for
go
songs.
Mexico, go!
And the States were asking for songs, you know, a couple of weeks before the release because it was previewing on iTunes or pre-selling or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And they were asking for tunes. They're like, what the? It must have leaked. How is this possible? And then, like, you just switch your iTunes to, like, iTunes USA or and you can listen to the whole freaking album well before it's out.
Preview.
Preview,
right. Has it... Has it been beneficial putting out all your stuff on your own label, though? I mean, I imagine you haven't had some of the conflicts a lot of other bands have had with, you know, direction, giving you direction on what to do and whatnot. Like, I mean, is that still?
I'd say ultimately that's probably the main reason why we're still around is because we kept control of our music.
Yeah.
And we did it in a way that, you know, it wasn't intentional, but it just happened, you know. Stomp helped the Smashers helped Stomp, all the bands on Stomp helped the Smashers, and we tried to do the best we could to help them out. So the sense of community really had a huge effect on both Stomp Records and the Planet Smashers still being around today. And for that, I respect, you know, everything, all the people we've ever worked with, a great deal. And I don't know if that would have happened if we'd signed to another label and put our trust in someone else. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and place to sign to labels. We license our music outside of Canada to many different record labels.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to do that. We can't sell the records in Switzerland.
But there's like dope ass record labels in Switzerland that we like and are our friends and
that are doing ska or doing psychobilly or doing punk rock. And we would actually release their titles over here, so that just continued building the sense of community outside the country. So, you know, when it comes down to it, if we signed to a major, which we could have, it was a bad deal, but we had one offer.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Yeah, back in the good old days.
Was it like Zomba or something?
That's Universal. But, but yeah, we decided to go on alone on our own, and maybe if we hadn't, we would have been in the movie Basketball.
Yeah, you guys could have been doing the Aha cover,
Or in Space Jam or something.
For sure. Awesome. Well, John, do you want to play your weird...
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a weird album. I'm going to play a song by the Flying Lizards.
Yeah!
Yeah, you guys probably know this stuff.
Man.
Very popular band because of the song Money that they covered, which turned out to be on half a dozen very popular movie soundtracks at least.
And you played it on a previous episode, didn't you?
No, well, I played a different song off of this. I'm going to try to play every song on this album at various points throughout
the course of the show.
The Witch Police Radio run.
I'm
going to play the song Russia because they are wreaking terror internationally these days.
Topical. Yeah,
it's a bit topical. And I just happened to be listening to this the other day, and I was like, oh, what song is this? You know, I just had the side one on, and it was the song Russia. I was like, okay, well, maybe I can work this into a Witch Police episode. So this band, this album, this is the first album they released, and it's very strange. Very strange music. You know, it gives you the impression that either you were slipped some drugs, or they had maybe been doing some drugs around the time they were making this. The single Money was just recorded in someone's living room for apparently the cost of the tape that it was recorded on, for nothing. And then it became this big... This is what enabled them to kind of be... It was more or less an art collective beforehand, and then they just kind of ended up releasing this and a couple other albums. This is the only one I've got, the only one I've heard, but I dig it. There's some strange stuff, there's some pretty good stuff, and... everything in between.
Cool.
Let's check out Russia by the Flying Lizards. So from 1980, that was the Flying Lizards with Russia. It's
It's pretty good.
And yeah, like I really liked the main groove, which I mean, if you don't like, you're not going to like the song because they play it for forever.
For a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Like, you're probably on drugs, so it's okay.
Yeah. No, this album, like the first track on the album is like weird, like this woman who can't sing, like just singing and doesn't sound like anything listenable at all.
It's a good way to start a record.
Yeah, very interesting choice for a first track. So yeah, the whole thing has a very experimental feel to it. And, you know, in reading sort of interviews from that were done at the time, around the time, like that's how the whole thing was put together. It was like, there's one guy who's continued to do like kind of interesting work, but in other fields. He was sort of like the quote unquote songwriter where maybe there was like a sound or a thing, and then they would just experiment and kind of loop, a lot of looping of an idea together.
Mr.
And
Cunningham.
A little bit of that, yeah.
That's his name, Cunningham.
David Cunningham, yeah, that's right.
Cool. So, how did you get into this?
I got into this because I met a strange fellow who was selling records, and I was buying some more like, you know, like Talking Heads type stuff,
and then I saw,
I was like, what's this Flying Lizards record? And it looked bizarre enough, I just bought it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is money on that one?
Yeah, it's.
It is cool, man.
But they had released it, I think it had come out as like a single or as a something prior to this. And then became really popular, and they ended up sort of getting either funding or whatever it was that allowed them to record an album.
Cool. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. And obviously Russia fits the terror theme.
Yeah, like the lyrics of that one in particular are not very terror-driven, but yeah, Russia...
The themes are just the loose anyway.
The sound was pretty
terrible. Yeah, for sure.
So there you go.
That was awesome. No, that was cool. So, before we do have one more song to play on the show, but before we do that, we kind of like to let people know where they can find our show and then where they can find what our guests are doing. So if someone wants to find more episodes of this show, they can go to witchpolice.com. There's a podcast button on the menu bar, and it kind of gives you a big list of all the past shows, past guests, past themes, and it's all for free download and streaming.
Yeah, and all our social media jazz is on there as well.
Yeah, you can find links to Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. We're also on the actual radio Monday nights at 11 p.m. on 101.5 UMFM in Winnipeg. If you're not here and you want to check it out when it's playing on air, you can stream it at umfm.com.
Yeah, or you could just check out what's on UMFM anyway.
Yeah, it's a good station. We like to get people listening to community radio. So
yeah, and we're on. I mean, this is primarily, I guess, a podcast. So to find us as a podcast, go to stitcher.com. That's a really good way to have podcasts automatically downloaded to your phones and stuff.
Yeah, it's just a really convenient app, and we like when people go on there because it. The more people listen to us on there, the more it recommends our show to other people. So.
There you go. We can't tour this thing.
So,
Twitter this shit all over the place.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
I will, yes.
That's fantastic. Yeah, great. I mean, again, really happy to have you guys on the show.
Thanks for having us.
It's cool that you have a new album. It's cool that you're still around. Like 1997 me is just super pumped about this right now. So if people want to hear your record or any of your old stuff or see you on tour, what do? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, I mean, we don't have our website anymore. We are the Planet Smashers, so the easiest thing to do would be to type that into your Google search engine or Internet Explorer if you're scared of using,
or Facebook,
or just go straight to Facebook.
Yeah, we're all on Facebook. It's awesome.
We're there, man. We actually answer our messages.
Yeah,
so just type that in. I mean, there's a lot of streaming. It's streaming on SoundCloud right now still. Okay. I think we got a video up on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw it. It was great.
Song, which is a song called Tear It Up.
Actually, people listening would have heard that at the beginning of the show. We played that in the intro, so they would have heard that. And
that's pretty scary.
Yeah, the roller derby video. Yeah,
we got our asses kicked, man.
That wasn't just stunt work.
Nope. No, that was actually me banging my head and getting concussions.
You did that move four times, and I every time I was like, "Dude, don't do it again."
But the best is the helmet I was wearing. It had a $3.50 sticker on it, but it saved my life. Like, I swear to God,
it was $2.50. We bought all this derelict equipment, and they kicked our asses. These girls are amazing.
Oh,
don't think that the roller derby girls are faking it, because
they're not. Yeah,
they took it so easy on us too, and they only inflicted injuries that you couldn't see.
So they're very professional. Yeah,
But you can check us out on Twitter at @planet_smashers, and I'll probably write back to you because I have nothing better to do.
Yay! I like the stereo there. That was pretty good, yeah. So do you guys have any shows coming up that, I mean, you know, this is a Winnipeg-based show, but people from elsewhere also listen, I hope.
Very closest I think we're getting is probably Chicago. We're doing Chicago at the end of the month, or in a week.
23rd?
No, 10th? 9th. We're doing Chicago on the 9th. 10th, we're in Detroit. Later on, we're back in Toronto on the 23rd, and then we just keep on doing, like, every other weekend throughout the summer. We're doing shows all over Ontario and Quebec, including Montebello Rock Fest. I bet there's people from Winnipeg coming out for this one.
Could be, yeah.
Ridiculous, the lineup.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. But, yeah, we're the Planet Smashers. Still doing it.
Cool. All right, you guys have one more song that you wanted to play here on the show. So what have you got to...
Well, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, the Chicago and Detroit shows and going down there and the guys from Mustard Plug. So why don't we do one from Mustard Plug?
Awesome.
This is an oldie. It's about a crazy mass murderer that is, well, it's a true song or whatever. It happened in Grand Rapids. And they're writing from the viewpoint of the wife that got... one of his victims.
See, I never knew that, and you told me. I thought it was about I thought it was a happy song.
No, it's real.
It's a real mass murder.
One of his victims is his wife, and this is his wife writing the song, and it's called "Mr. Smiley" by Mustard Plug.
Awesome! It's a good way to go out. All right, thanks again for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.